How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico. How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Sunday paper. Oh. Sunday paper.
3, 2, 1. All right.
Listen all about it. Watch all about it. It's all here. Sunday papers.
All right. There's a lot of announcements on my screen. Default external headphones. Got it. Did you put a little reminder to plug in your headphones? I see them.
I got them in, and I'm recording at a good level. I'm in Tempe, Arizona.
Nice.
You know, I've always enjoyed this town. It's a college town. ASU has a huge game today. They're playing, I don't know, Brigham Young, I think, or something. But they're both 8-2.
Basketball team played against Duke last night. Rabi wanted to bet me, and I missed it, and I would have won. And that would have been, he needs games to be interesting. So earlier, he's like, I'm at work, and I knew I wouldn't watch it. Cleveland-Pittsburgh. He's like, Cleveland's underdog, but, you know, giving away 3.5, which seemed crazy to me. But I was like, whatever. I mean, you know, the line makers have this. So I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'll take it. I don't care because I know Ruby loses most of his bets. Did you see the Cleveland-Pittsburgh game?
It was really snowy, right?
Yeah, and it started, like, during the game, but it was crazy. It also, with that weather, it was the over, not the under. And so I think a lot of people lost money. But I won that one, and I would have won the ASU bet because Duke beat ASU.
I'll tell you why it went over. I just saw some highlights, and it looked like there was a lot of fumbles. And when you fumble, a lot of times you're giving the other team good field position.
Look at you.
Right?
Is there a rule in Tempe that your hat has to match your jacket? Is that what's going on?
You're writing on a Jeff Ross project now, so you're like, Johnny Roast? Are you going to roast me?
I just read you the Huck Tua jokes. We're hoping she says yes. Jeff hung out with her at the Tyson fight.
Yeah, I saw his little videos and clips from the Tyson fight. It was like he was like the MC of the event. He was talking to every major celebrity there.
A lot came up to him. Gronk ran up to him and goes, Gronk goes, I'm getting recognized now by people for the roast who don't know, don't know what team I played for in the NFL or anything like that.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
So how's that show coming along? When's it going to air?
I think the December 23rd, I forget.
Sorry.
27th?
Mm.
I think we're going to be the day after Squid Game 2 premieres.
Day after doesn't really help you, does it?
No, what happens... Oh, no. I mean, tons of people. It's Netflix... I think it's their most watched week is between Christmas and New Year's.
Okay, so this isn't a live show.
No.
Okay.
It won't be live. With very fast turnaround on the edit, though. We're doing live to tape.
Can you announce any of the comics that are going to be on the show?
No, I think it's unofficial still.
What's the title of the show?
That's also unofficial, but maybe but maybe torching 2024.
Sounds to me like there's a lot of masturbation going on at this Zoom meeting comedy room.
Well, some of it is, like, we know the talent and we know the title, but it is unofficial. They have to vet it and all that stuff.
Yeah. All right. Shout out for Adam Ray. He's got a new special out, a Dr. Phil special that I watched, enjoyed very much.
He's so funny.
He actually got Dr. Phil to come on.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy. You should have seen the audience's reaction when Dr. Phil walked out. It was nuts.
Well, Dr. Phil's in a good mood. His man won. His man is in the White House.
Oh, is he a big Trump guy?
He was at the rally.
Okay. All right. Got my vax shots this week. Don't tell Austin.
Don't tell the administration either, the new administration. All right, what vaxes?
I got the, I mean, look, here's the thing. I'm traveling every single weekend between now and March.
And
I'm also I'm also going to South Africa for 2.5 weeks in December.
Oh, yeah.
So I got that, and I got the flu shot as well, which I hear is not a good flu shot.
When you say you got that, I missed it. COVID?
The flu shot.
What? Okay. You said vaxes, plural. What vaxes?
Yeah, I got COVID, and I got the flu.
Oh.
But
you
I need
got,
to get...
You already got your second shingles?
Need to get my first shingles.
The second one laid me low, but only for like 4 hours in the middle of the night. I think I told you, I forgot. Like, he's like, oh, all right, time to get your second shingles. I was like, when did I get my first? He's like, last year on your general. And I'm like, okay. So he gives it to me. I forget. And then, cause I've never gotten none of the COVIDs. I've never really felt crappy. So middle of the night, shivering so rigorously. And then I like put my head under the covers to try to warm it up, like you're in a sleeping bag in the like almost on death's door. And then it was one of those where this is how cold I was. Across like 8 feet away was like another blanket or a sweatshirt. I think it was a sweatshirt, like on a chair. And I was just like, too far. It's too far.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I couldn't get out. And it was only about 4 hours because I woke up kind of fine.
Isn't it funny, like pain, because you know it's going to end. Like I thought about this when I got those shots. It's like, all right, I'm going to feel shitty tomorrow. But I know when I feel shitty, you sort of feel like you're always going to feel like this for the rest of your life, even though you know it's going to end.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got the shots. I'm feeling autistic.
Oh, we might have a good show today then.
Yeah.
Nice.
Can I tell you a funny story with JoJo?
Please do.
So I go for a bike ride yesterday and down the beach, and she goes, what'd you do today? I said, I took like a 10-mile bike ride. It felt really good. And she goes, oh, look at you. You're like Louis Armstrong. I said, do you mean Lance Armstrong? And she goes, was his brother the guy that walked on the moon? And I said, I give up. I give up on this generation.
Give up? What do you mean? It sounds like she should be on this podcast. This apple did not fall far from the tree.
I know. Jesus.
She has fist facts. That applies to her, too.
She got fist facts, and...
That's really funny, though.
Yeah, yeah. How's your daughter doing in its college?
Both of them are well, it was really interesting. Today is Sophie's last Michigan game. I don't know how that happened. This is year four. She's a senior. And, I mean, they suck this year, so it's no big, but I can't believe it's the last, like, home game that she's going to. It's crazy.
Wow.
Time waits for no one.
Yeah. And how's Olivia doing? Is she
Olivia's
like...
Olivia's good. I just found out I can't make it because I'm teaching in the spring. My class is on Mondays, and that's when the bean pod is. It's on Monday nights.
Oh, no shit. Wow.
I'm very, very bummed about
that. If people don't
know,
bean pod is a very legendary hockey tournament in Boston. It's always the same four teams, BU, BC, Harvard, and Northeastern. And it's a big honor to win it.
Yeah. And apparently BC is stacked this year.
Okay.
Our boy John told me that. I gotta let him know. Yeah, God, I let Olivia know. I want to go So maybe I'll go in the spring or something. I'm not. Why else go to Boston in February?
Oh, Jesus.
No other reason.
So why go to Tempe now? Tempe is, there's a lot of fucking crazy people. I did my first show last night, and I'm doing a joke about abortion. And this guy yells out, he goes, because all the young ones are whores. I go, what? He goes, they're all whores. I said, what do you mean? All young women are whores? He goes, yeah, yeah. That's why they have to get abortions. I was like, is that the angle now? Like, is that what people are saying? That they're all whores? And then he goes, do some jokes about the Jews.
Wow.
And it was not met with like, boo, shut up. It was like, they kind of went like, all right, let's hear some Jew jokes.
Yeah, finally someone said it.
Yeah, there was a lot of booing at certain jokes. Yeah, things are getting very, very partisan in the audiences in this country, especially in certain places.
do some jokes about the Jews.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, you've been to Phoenix a bunch of times?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Love Phoenix.
Phoenix, I like.
Yeah, it's a great town. And Tempe is a really fun town.
Yeah. Oh, if you cool want to hike, go over. What is it called? Camelback?
Oh,
what is
yeah. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow.
Oh, it's a great hike.
I got my buddy Rob Dukes is in town. He's the guy who...
I know. I should have done his podcast. I love Rob.
He did the theme song for my one-hour special.
That's so cool.
And his girlfriend, Melody, has done a lot of our logos.
Speaking of fans, okay, I mentioned this last week. So I got the mail with all the returned koozies. It's crazy. So, hello, listeners. Guess who got his koozie money this week?
I was so bummed out because it was like Friday. We're taping on Saturday. I'm like, he's going to owe me $100 on top of the $100 that you already owe me because of the World Series that you didn't pay me. Do you pay Rabi when you lose your bets?
I don't know. He always owes me money. I'm going to just have him pay you. Here's from Allison in Toronto, a Christmas card. So we're going to get in the spirit, albeit 11 months late. We're going to get in the spirit. Look at this beautiful Christmas card she sent. So nice.
Santa.
There's Santa and Rudolph.
Yeah.
I open the card, and then I immediately am like, uh-oh, because there's a check inside. Greg and Mike, wishing you all the best this holiday season. I love Sunday Papers, and I'm so glad I found it. Here's some Canadian money for a nice koozie. Can't wait to sip a couple of ice-cold Molson Canadians using it. Take it ish. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. All right. The only good news about it being a check is we didn't cash it. So maybe we should try to find a way. We won't cash it because of the delay. I guess I can find a way, see how much it is to ship a koozie to Canada.
Now, is that $16 Canadian money that she wrote the check for?
Yes.
So she's covering the exchange rate by giving you 16 instead of 10 and the extra postage.
The Canadians are bright. The Canadians,
yeah, they are bright.
What you hear.
I like don't a good Canadian woman. I'll be honest with you. They're the Marion type. They're loyal. They know how to fix a hot water heater.
Okay, this one isn't as easy. This is from Michael in Binghamton, New York. We know Binghamton.
Sure, my nephew just graduated from there.
So look at his to-do list.
Thank you guys so much for the koozie. Love the pod. To-do.
And in the envelope.
$10.
A $10 bill. Oh, Michael. I hope I send you the koozie. I'm going to go back in my extensive records and try to find if I sent it to you. This came from Syracuse, New York. At least that's where it was mailed. So, Michael, I thank you for the $10.
Well, how do you know Greg? You didn't send it? Maybe you already sent it, and that was like a tip.
No, that's for it. I'm going to go look.
Okay.
Okay, then another, this is the last one. Nope, one more. Another Christmas card. Merry, merry, bright, bright.
Wait, how are people getting your address?
What?
How are people getting an address for us?
Take it ish. We have the return address. I guess it's on your website, maybe.
Wait, why don't you read it out so that more people send us cards?
I don't like going to this mailbox place. It's not near my house.
Yeah, well, happy holidays to you.
Thank you. This is from Bree, who's in Huntington Beach. She says, Huntington Beach loves you. And then inside we got just a nice card. Thank God, no cash or anything. Nice card, picture of her niece, I think, walking with the dogs. And Sunday podcast has been a highlight. Thanks, Mike and Greg. Big fan, Bree. So that's so nice.
How about a little check, Bree?
Okay, now this one I was opening when we started. This is from Keith in, I don't even know what that is, British Columbia. What would you say that word is?
Nansemo.
You know that? Or that's a just Fitz confidence?
No, it's what it says, Nansemo.
Oh, boy. All right. Hey, Mike, big fan. Any chance I can get a koozie with this Canadian Monopoly money? $13.30. They do the math.
Oh, Jesus.
Is the total. It is real money. Ha, ha, ha. By the way, I was the guy who sent in the audio where my wife had zero hesitation of swerving into traffic.
Oh, I love that. All right, you got to send in a koozie.
Your take was so funny. Anyhow, I wonder what my take was. Anyhow, I'm not really expecting anything from this, but we shall see. Love you two. Oh, no, it's cash.
Oh, Jesus.
Look, with change. All right. If this guy can send me coins from Canada and, okay, you ready? This is perfect. Yeah, this guy's good. And no, I'm not mentally challenged.
I was literally just going to say, I think this guy is mentally challenged.
Is written above the coins that are taped to it.
Yeah.
This is a loony, $1. This is a toonie, $2. Is that real? Is that must be slang. 25 cents, 5 cents. There we go. All right.
All right.
I'm
going to
address all those.
We want to also
thank you, listeners.
Jane S., who's a big supporter of the show, has sent us another great logo. It's the Snickers Satisfies poster. I like that.
Yeah, sure.
I like the color maroon.
It's because we're nuts, Greg.
And then the song from Matthew Golson. What did you think of the song this week?
It was such a strong start. And that I'm complimenting the whole song. The song seems to be a start of a song.
Well,
and
it's
I liked it.
It's one chord and one lyric, and yet it works. It gets what the show is all about.
And then at the end, listen to the end, because the end has a very nice, satisfying finish to it.
Corrections. We had, I'm sure you're getting a bunch of these, but Phil never played with the Dead and Company. Speaking of which, when Phil Lesh died, I forgot to show you my T-shirt. You see it?
Oh, it's a very Philly flavor on that.
It's the Phillies logo, but it says Phil Lesh instead of Phillies. My friend Dan Brickner's friend gave it to me in Philly.
Oh, those people are so nice, those animals. Keep greasing the poles so they can't climb them.
After the Fare Thee Well 50th anniversary shows in 2015, the Core Four never played together again. Bobby and Phil went on a duo tour, but Phil spent the last decade on his own in San Rafael, and he goes on and on and
yeah, I do
on
blend those two. I do blend the Fare Thee Well because, you know, I mean, no Jerry, so.
Speaking of San Francisco, Punchline Comedy Club, December 5th through 7th. Now, listen, these shows are going to sell out. It's San Francisco. It's my home club. Get your tickets right away.
Home club.
Cleveland Hilarities will not sell out, but get tickets anyway. That's December 13th and 14th. And then starting in the new year, Janesville, Wisconsin, Nyack, New York, Raleigh, North Carolina, Milwaukee, Vegas, Fontana, Atlanta, Hamilton, Ontario, Toronto, Pittsburgh, Tampa. Go to fitzdog.com, get some tickets. Also, support for Sunday Papers comes from Mint Mobile. Look, I like getting a good deal on my phone service. I do not like to get pinged through to the third world and be on hold for 35 minutes until I'm screaming in my own living room. Mint Mobile makes it so easy. It's $15 a month with the purchase of a 3-month plan. It's that easy.
It's
I called
easy,
them.
People.
Turns out it's that easy to get wireless, $15 a month. Longest part I spent was breaking up with my old provider. That took so they won't let you do it. Get started. Go to mintmobile.com/papers. They're there right now. You'll see this 3-month, $15 a month plan. Included unlimited, comes with high-speed data, text delivered on the nation's largest 5G. You're not getting a bad network. You're getting the largest 5G network. You bring your own phone. You can transfer all your numbers, switch it over. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month premium mobile plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/papers. That's mintmobile.com/papers. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/papers. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Nice. And now we're moving along to Game Time, our friends at Game Time. I went on here, speaking of Philly, Eagles at Rams tomorrow, right now at 172, but I'd keep an eye on it.
How are the seats?
Closer.
Huh? How are the seats?
You want me to check them out?
Well, you can look on the
view, because this thing gives you the view from your seats.
Yep. That's what I'm asking about.
Let's see. Here we go.
Because sometimes you think it's a good ticket, and then you get there, and it's like an obstructed view or something.
Look at this. When you move it, it moves your view. It's like a very high tech.
Those are good seats.
Yeah, no, those ones are 962.
Oh, all right.
Well,
there you go.
They're going to be going down. No, those are crazy good seats. But Game Time, we love. Are you kidding me? You get the seat views, which we just showed you, which is panoramic. You get the lowest price guarantee, or Game Time will credit you 110% difference. You get the ticket coverage. Your purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the industry. All right, I'm going to Discover because I like to see what else is in town. Let's see what we got here. It's a lot of football. Then we have Tate McRae. I've never heard of Tate McRae.
Tate, more like Tate McRae.
How about Edición Especial? By the way, they must be popular. $145.
No,
keep
pesos.
An eye on that one. Those are just announced this weekend.
Okay.
It's a lot of Spanish here.
I want to see this. I want to see the Christmas shows. Is there
how about USC at UCLA? That's today.
Nobody
That's
wants to see that.
That's a big rivalry.
I bet they're
in this
cheap.
Town.
I bet they're cheap.
Dave Chappelle and Killer Mike. These are expensive. I think the cheapest one is $442.
Dude,
at Long
is
Beach
getting
Terrace
so
Theater.
Rich.
See, I didn't even know that was going on. Cyndi Lauper, $30.
Yeah, I'm
a
good.
Legend. Come on, man. Anyway, take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PAPERS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PAPERS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Oh, what time is it? Game Time.
Game Time.
All right, we need paper. I have lots. You know what paper I have?
What
I have
got?
Old koozie envelopes.
Oh, here you go.
Here we go. Front page.
Extra! Extra! We all about it! Extra!
Edward Kelly, who was convicted last week of assaulting law enforcement officers and other crimes during the Capitol attack, was found guilty on Wednesday on three additional charges. Conspiracy to murder employees of the United States. Solicitation to commit a crime of violence. During the January 6th riot, Kelly, an anti-abortion activist, wore a sweatshirt reading TCAPP, which stands for the Church at Planned Parenthood.
Wow.
He had a list of about 37 members of law enforcement who worked on his case, and he was trying to get them killed.
That's all.
So luckily the 37 cops dressed up as fetuses so he wouldn't kill them.
That is such a smart defensive move.
Smart
I love that.
Thinking.
Yeah. Now Trump's going to probably pardon this guy, and then he's going to hunt down the turkey that Joe Biden is pardoning on Monday and absolutely kill it. Just cut
That's
its
good.
Head off.
Can I just say something right out of the gate?
Yeah.
We write this script. It's a Google Doc. I put in, you know, you're busy, so I've been, you know, putting in a lot of the stories. Well,
you carry the weight this
which I'm happy to do. But you wrote in your jokes, and I can see your jokes that you write in, and I can always tell when you are writing on a show. Your jokes are so much sharper.
What?
And I swear to God, they're more thought out. They're sharper than when you're not writing on a show.
Oh, all right. I kind of mail it in.
Well, I'm not saying you mail it in, but you usually only write jokes for the first three stories. And then I don't know if you go masturbate or you call your fiance, but...
Sometimes both.
Oh.
She doesn't know it, though. I just tell her to talk slow.
A boy attending a Hingham High School in Massachusetts got caught copying and pasting answers generated by an AI chatbot into his homework assignment, earning him a failing grade and a stint in detention. His mom and dad, Dale and Jennifer Harris, threatened to sue the school. But the school fought back. According to the court order, the kid submitted a script for a school project that lifted entire passages of text generated by AI. He was caught by, there's an AI detector. And so the history teacher, you know, gave him this, and they were going to sue, and the school fucking shut them down. Which, by the way, great that the schools are turning out students now ready to take on the digital world by punishing them for using the technology that is the future. Let's ban the girls from having OnlyFans sites too, because those are going to be the only jobs available in 5 years.
Well, also, we're putting out students who have no idea. I mean, thank God AI arrived. They're just in time. They're no longer tested, so there's no barrier in sort of weeding out people or that they have to, you know, sort of learn. But despite not being able to spell anything, all of them know how to spell Huktua. I've learned that in the last week. They know how to spell Huktua, but nothing else.
Yeah. Spell it.
Exactly. The parents' defense, I think, should have been like, our boy is a robot. So what do you expect him to do? That's the AI.
Yeah.
What did I write here? The school was threatened by the lawsuit.
Not threatened.
Oh, they weren't threatened by the lawsuit because they could tell the parents used AI to generate the legal document. Lazy family. And now the kid's going to use AI to write the most thoughtful apology letter ever.
Matt Gaetz is following in the footsteps of another Republican who left Congress under a cloud of controversy by joining Cameo. A day after withdrawing from consideration as Donald Trump's attorney general, Gaetz created an account on the app on which celebrities and other public figures can charge hundreds of dollars for personalized video messages. Quote, I served in Congress. Trump nominated me to be U.S. Attorney General. That didn't work out. Once I fired the House Speaker, reads the profile, he's charging upwards of $500 a video.
All right. I think we should get him to do an ad for us for our hats and T-shirts that we're going to sell.
Dude, I read that in the script and I immediately went, I have a Cameo account. I looked him up. It's $500. He says he'll deliver within 24 hours. I tried to actually buy it and somehow my app didn't work, but I absolutely think a $500 investment in selling these hats and T-shirts, absolutely.
I know, but do we want to support this guy?
Yes.
You know what his full-time job is now is seeing if he's being suckered into recording something that, you know, is obviously against him.
Well, he's on the wrong social media platform. There's way more teenage girls on TikTok.
Exactly.
What about Dickie's joke on our text chain? He said Gaetz is pulling out. This is the first time he's pulled out where it didn't involve a 17-year-old with a Venmo account.
It's good, solid stuff.
Yep.
I did see a head of one of the environmental groups. I heard it in the news. They're like, listen to what a very funny head of an environmental group, because the threat of him before he backed out and pulled out, the threat of him against the environment. But the guy said, luckily, most of the environmental laws in place are over 18 years old, so we don't think he'll have any interest in them.
That's good.
That is a solid joke by an environmentalist.
Yeah.
You want me to read some of these with my beautiful voice?
Yeah, please.
All right. We go to the state of Maine. A Republican lawmaker in Maine accused of choking his wife last month won re-election by a single vote after a Thursday recount.
Wow, he really squeezed that out.
The representative, Lucas Lanigan, turned himself in days before the election after being charged with domestic violence, aggravated assault. WCSH and NBC affiliate in Maine. Oh, yeah, you can cut that out of these, you know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't edit better on all the stories I put in.
According to police affidavit obtained by WCSH, Lanigan is accused of choking his wife after she confronted him about an alleged affair.
And the irony is that she would ask the guy she cheated with to choke her during sex.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Republican Party's like, what's the issue? The wife's older than 17, right?
Yeah. It's too bad the wife was too out of breath to go down and cast that tying vote. She was a little winded.
Am I too late? this McMahon story. Maybe you can cut it down on the fly. You want me to try?
Yeah, just, you know, speed read.
President-elect Trump intends to nominate Linda McMahon to lead the Department of Education. Which he has long threatened to dismantle. McMahon, who could potentially be asked with ending the department, will be put in charge of heading up changes to Title IX and determining how student debt is handled. I'm going to skip down a little. She, of course, is the CEO of WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment, and she's donated millions of dollars to Trump. She has spent little time in the education realm. Her most direct experience was in Connecticut, where she served on the State Board of Education for a year in 2009 before stepping down to run for Senate. I have a note about that later. In October, she was named as a defendant in a lawsuit related to sexual abuse of young boys by a WWE ringside announcer. It was rampant abuse of young boys by Melvin Phillips Jr. in the 80s and 90s. It alleges Phillips told the young boys they would get to meet wrestling stars and lured them into venues and hotels on tour. The lawsuit says McMahon and her husband knew for a long time of the peculiar and unnatural interest the announcer had in young boys. Woo! All right.
No, McMahon did fire Phillips for a few weeks before allegedly allowing him back on the condition that he stayed away from the boys. But the suit alleges she knew he did not.
Oh, so, I didn't
hear
that part.
Look, to defend her, I think because of her role in professional wrestling, she thought the ring announcer was just pretending to abuse the boys, not actually doing it.
Yeah, it's scripted, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, if it's scripted, yeah, and he really did it, boy, she's even in more trouble. But listen, I think this shows that she actually does have experience with school-age children.
She does. So, yes, she's taught them how to lie, taught them how to stop crying.
Yeah. So this is what I found. She incorrectly claimed in 2009 that she had a bachelor's degree in education, and that was to get her on the school board in Connecticut. She resigned from the state education board one day after the journalist told her they caught the error. But McMahon attributed her resignation to her state Senate bid. But it was one day after they busted her. And she received, if anyone's interested, her bachelor's degree in French. Didn't you get yours in French?
Oui.
I
mean like a lot of people in my class did together.
Oui means it was a team effort. Cheated off everybody who sat next to you. And she went to East Carolina University. Very impressive.
All right, congratulations.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
On one side of the Capitol, Republican Representative Nancy Mace vowed to stand in the way of Democratic Republican-elect Sarah McBride, the first out transgender woman elected to Congress using women's bathrooms in the U.S. Capitol. This is not her first rodeo, Democrat Becca Bailent said of McBride. I'm so impressed by the way she is helping us navigate this because she said, quote, if we let them, this entire Congress, all we'll talk about is bathrooms. Yeah, how about that?
I know.
They're talking about, like, putting through a ban. They've got bills. Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia took the rhetoric further, threatening violence against McBride if she entered a women's bathroom and calling the congresswoman-elect mentally ill. Okay, oh. So we have a $34 trillion deficit. They still have no drinking water in Michigan. We got Ukraine. We got shit heating up in Israel. Not one politician mentioned global warming during the election, and these fucknuts are wasting time talking about where this woman is going to take a shit. She should do it on the floor. And what is the holdup? What is the holdup that her shit is going to be worse because she was born a man? I've lived with women. Their shit is as bad as mine. They're ready for this.
Oh, boy. Hold on, though. Marjorie Taylor Greene is not trans? Is that what I'm getting from this story?
Is that what it says?
No, I always thought she was trans.
Yeah, I didn't know she wasn't trans.
I know. It's very weird.
Huh.
So I like how they say the first out transgender. Is that just covering their bases that there might be others, but we don't know?
Well, there was, what's his name? The guy, the liar who finally stepped down.
Oh, who also went to Cameo.
What was his name?
We're not going to get it. We're not going to get it. Santos?
Yes, George Santos.
Look at me. Look at me. Sharp.
He was a transsexual, trans whatever.
Let's move on to entertainment.
Trans.
Now. All right.
Should we start with our endorsements or our picks, or should we start with the stories?
No, let's a little loose, and then we're going to get to Ellen DeGeneres, who there's news.
Good tease.
Yeah. All right. Say Nothing. I didn't see it.
I read the book, Say
Saw
Nothing.
Saw Nothing.
It's about the Troubles.
Yes.
Saw Nothing. It's about the Troubles in Ireland, which happened in like the 70s and 80s when the British came in and basically brought the military in to illegally detain and harass the Irish, the Catholics. Anyway, it's this story about this girl, Dolores, and her sister, and they were born into a family in the IRA. Incredible book. And they made it into a series. I've not seen it yet. I think we might have said last week that we were going to see it for this week, but definitely seeing it this week.
All right.
Also, out of Ireland, my Bad Sisters season 2 is out, and it is not as good as season 1, but it's excellent so far.
I don't think it's Irish, is it?
It is, yeah. It's set in
Dublin.
Well,
the Irish actress is in it, who's always good.
You know, it's
right,
set
disclaimer.
In Ireland, it's Irish actresses. Is that what you mean by it's not Irish?
No, but I mean, I didn't know it was an Irish. Isn't it set in England?
Ireland.
Is it? I only watched the first couple, I think. And then I was
okay.
Like, it's a little soft.
Yeah, really?
I thought a little.
Oh, no, dude. Stick with it. It's a great fucking show.
Well, let's get back to disclaimer where I wonder, you were so into the sex scenes.
In disclaimer, yes.
As you watch more, you realize it wasn't maybe what you thought you were watching. I guess there's going to be some spoiler alerts when we talk about disclaimer right now. So,
what did you think of the sex scene, the main sex scene?
Huh?
What did you think of those sex scenes?
Well, it's hard to think about it the same now. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Right.
No, but they were good. They were good. All right, we don't want to give too much away, but what did you think by the we don't have to talk about what happened. How did you feel when it was over?
I felt like I did at the end of a good novel where they build characters and then they give you some darkness that you didn't really see coming.
I talked to my students about it. We're in a TV writing class. I felt the show cheated a little bit.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll give it that.
Yeah. So, without talking about this show, you know, there are you're trying to surprise like a viewer. Say, like, think of there's a lot of movies like that. Like, let's say I'm making this up. let's say there's a movie, right? Not even like this. It's about murder or something. And there's a guy looking guilty, right? And he's looking guilty in front of people or whatever, but he's pretending. Well, when he's alone...
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.
And he looks guilty. That you're trying to fool the viewer, but that's cheating because he wouldn't be acting guilty in my bad made-up example here.
It's bad directing.
But you
directing.
Know what I mean? He wouldn't be acting guilty if he was alone or not around the people he's trying to fool. Now right. You're just trying to fool us. And I felt that this did that a little bit.
Yep. All right. Let's get to it. Ellen DeGeneres and her wife... Poor Skin De Rossi, have moved to rural England. They put their Montecito estate on the market. They're never going to return to the U.S. telling friends the election of Donald Trump was their motivation. So also it might have something to do with what she says is she was kicked out of show business. They've moved to Cotswolds, a rural area in south central England, and their Montecito mansion will be listed soon. And my guess is she wanted to move somewhere where being called a cunt can be seen as a good thing.
Yeah, she's going to be very confused about it over there.
Yeah.
I think, like, it's a great lesson in just slow down your judgment. I was very anti this deportation plan, but if this is the first example of it, I really shame on me. Shame on me. I should have.
They didn't tell us who they were deporting. They just said deportations.
Rarely things are all bad or all good. Yeah, and I was writing off the mass deportation as all bad. And silly me.
Well, I think it was smart that they went to England because they're not going to know about what happened. There's no tabloid activity over there. She'll be good.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, I guess they announced. It's so, if she couldn't really handle the valid criticism or any criticism, I should say, and that's what a lot of her last special was about, was talking about that. Well, this is not going to wait till she hears the criticism from this.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, remember the Dixie Chicks or the Chicks when they were in England and they spoke badly about the country. It compounded it. If they'd said those things in, you know, Texas, it wouldn't have clocked the way it did when she spoke out against the country from another country.
Well, I'll just say, and it's been said before, but America's loss is England's loss now. So have fun with that.
Jay Leno, you want to read this Jay Leno story?
Jay Leno is back and Jay Leno is black and blue after falling down a 60-foot hill on his way out for dinner, as will happen. The former Tonight Show host, who's 74, suffered significant bruising to the left side of his face during the accident. Leno was wearing a patch over his left eye, told Inside Edition that he had been staying at the Hampton Inn about 30 miles outside of Pittsburgh on Saturday night. He took the tumble while he walked toward a restaurant close to the hotel ahead of a performance he was doing nearby. He revealed that he broke his wrist, lost a fingernail, and is all black and blue on the left hand side of his body as well as his face. Did you see him?
Yeah, it's bad.
He looked like a pirate, but it looked like a car accident. His whole face was incredibly swollen and like gnarly, mostly black and blue. Like, why are you out in public? Why are you talking to media?
Because he's insane. How did he not break his chin on the way down? You think the chin would have broken the fall? And coincidentally, Conan O'Brien was doing his live show in Pittsburgh that night.
I was shocked the eye patch was in denim. It's the first time I've seen him not wearing denim.
Maybe he tripped over one of his long, clunky punchlines.
What is Hampton Inn?
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Do you know how many millions this guy has? Do you know he never touched his Tonight Show money?
Oh, yeah. No, he's obsessed with money. He goes down and he does the Comedy Magic Club on Sunday nights in Hermosa Beach. Seats about, you know, 200 people. And he takes the door. He takes the money at the door. Like, there's like four or five comics on the show that he could just say, hey, why don't you struggling guys all take the money? I've got a billion.
Does he really take the money?
Yeah.
I remember on Thursday nights and other nights too, he'd go over to Van Nuys Airport, hop on a private plane after taping the Tonight Show, which was probably like 5 o'clock, and go do corporate gigs in Vegas or any gigs. He would go for the weekend. And I guess, you know, he makes so much money doing that. I forget which it is. He wasn't touching one gigantic pile of money. Either he wasn't touching
the Tonight Show money.
I think it was that. He wasn't touching, which was like over $10 million a year.
No,
I mean, I think it was high
over $20 million a year.
Yeah. And he never touched that.
Right. Right.
One person at his wedding, the witness, maybe two in addition to the witness. He is an odd guy. He's been incredibly nice to me on the times
Very
I've
nice
met him.
To me. I hate to make jokes about him. I hope Jay knows it's all in fun.
Yes.
He's a great guy.
And he loves jokes, man. Loves jokes.
Loves good jokes. All right, let's make America Florida.
Here we go. We're going to do that with this envelope right here. Florida man claiming to be Elon Musk, accused of scamming elderly Florida woman. The suspect, 56-year-old Jeffrey Moynihan, is accused of scamming the 74-year-old woman out of more than $500,000. Florida investigators said he and the elderly woman had befriended one another on Facebook in 2023. You know, Musk is on Facebook and is so easy to befriend. And they messaged each other daily for several months. Moynihan, because he has all that time. Moynihan allegedly promised the elderly woman $55 million return if she invested in his business ventures. Okay.
Well, just to put that in perspective, if she had bought shares in Tesla at the same time, she'd have lost roughly the same amount of money.
Although now, forget it.
I know. Now it's up.
I mean, she really thinks Musk is this available and needs her money. Like, what an easy target.
Well, yeah, something tells me that $500,000 was not going anywhere productive. It was either this Elon impersonator or podcast merch. It's going to be wasted either way.
It's like, listen, I need you to prove yourself. Can you wear a t-shirt that is way too small for you and then jump up like a mentally challenged person trying to do a jumping jack? Can you send me video of that? I want to prove it's you. Can you also make the ugliest truck ever? Can you show me the original designs for it? How did you come up with it?
Dude, every time I see that truck, I just think douche. I can only imagine a douche driving that truck.
Oh. It's worse than, remember, the Hummer douches, all those douches. There are so, all right, for the rest of you who live in normal places, there are so many Tesla trucks in Los Angeles. They're everywhere.
Not only that, tons of self-driving cars now. They call Waygo or something. And they're little Jaguars. And they pick people up. They're Uber drivers with no driver.
The first like month I saw those, because there's a giant tech thing on the roof, and it looks like, and it is, of course, it's cameras. It's 360 cameras to aid in its navigation and driving. And I thought they were like the Google Earth or Google Maps trucks. I didn't realize. And then one goes by, and there's someone sitting in the back seat. No one sitting in the front seat. It's a very surreal thing.
It's also, I looked it up online because Erin was saying she saw so many of them. They claim there are 100 of them in LA. She was driving on Olympic right by the 405. She had one in front of her, one crossed past her, and then another one crossed in front of her. So, okay. So out of 100, three of them were in the exact same place. I think there are thousands of these, and they are going to take over very fast.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dickie told the story on his block. One came up his block, and Dickie was standing out there. And you look at it because you're like, whoa. And a guy was an Amazon delivery guy across the street. And at this time of year, a lot of Amazon, they take on tons of extra drivers because of the holidays and the gifts. And you're allowed to use your own car. So you're really this sort of freelance worker for them. You're not in an Amazon van. And the guy has two Amazon packages in his hands, and he looks at it, and then he looks at Dickie, and he goes, did that car not have a driver in it? Like, I guess he was the first time seeing it. And Dickie's like, yeah, those are the new cars, the driverless cars. And he's like, oh, I guess this is my last year doing this. why wouldn't it come to your house and you go out and pick up the package like you do delivered food?
Yep. Well, it's pretty nuts, and it really makes you wonder. Like, I saw these teenagers getting out of one the other day, and my wife said to them, how is the ride? And they went, there was a cloud of pot smoke in it from the driver before us.
Well, passenger, hopefully. I like getting in and trying to drive it. I wonder what it would do to you. Probably kill you.
Oh, right.
It still plays shitty music, though, to give you the real feel of what it's like.
Yeah, I wonder if you can dictate the music when you're in it. If you can say, you know, Siri, put on this or whatever.
Can you please stop talking to me? And the auto driver's like, hard to do. An autistic man programmed me, and so I am going to talk. And also, I'm very bad at reading social cues.
And I have a one robot show coming up next month. Here's a flyer.
Can I give you my card? All right, another Florida story. Sarasota man drove stolen car to Mar-a-Lago to talk to Trump in Palm Beach. According to the arrest report, the man drove a rental car listed under a woman's name. When the police contacted the woman, she told them that she and the suspect were planning on buying a vehicle, but when she went into a bank yesterday to withdraw the money, he took off in the rental car without her permission. The man's facing charges of vehicle theft and, of course, operating a motor vehicle without a valid license.
Of course,
and
he's a Florida man.
This is also the metaphor that the people, he probably voted for Trump. I'm thinking he's a Trump supporter. And how does he get there? Without a license, in a stolen car. It's like, he does not have your interest in mind, pal.
I just love that there is no foresight about how this ends for this guy. She's in a bank. Like, there's employees. All she has to say is, my car was stolen. The phone call is made, and he's arrested, you know. And then how did the cops find out he was going to Mar-a-Lago? He must have told them.
No, I think he pulled up, because I cut out the last line. This is like the 13th arrest this month in Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know.
All right. Let's go international.
But let's not forget, the guy's probably just has pardon on the brain. Everything's pardoned.
All right.
All right. Wait, international? I didn't really read these. You told me we weren't going to do them.
Okay, so let's go down to...
I did the Brazilian, but that's been in there a while.
Yeah.
No, I did these. Wait, I wrote jokes for all these.
Okay.
But North Korean troops wearing Russian uniforms, and then Brazil. Let's not do Brazil. What do you want to do? We can go to science or international. Want to do the first international story?
Let's do the first international story.
International section. Want me to read it?
Sure.
Defense Secretary, I can't read. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said Wednesday that North Korean troops wearing Russian uniforms and carrying Russian equipment are moving toward Ukraine in what he called a dangerous and destabilizing development. He was speaking at a press conference in Washington with a South Korean defense minister as concerns grow about the deployment of as many as 12,000 troops to Russia. The U.S. and South Korea say some of the North Korean troops are heading to Russia's Kursk region on the border with Ukraine, where the Kremlin's forces have struggled to push back Ukrainian incursion.
I wonder if it's going to be hard to tell which of the North Koreans. Maybe the ones whose uniforms are hanging off of them and dragging on the ground as they walk.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's the PC-ness over there. Like, just like America, they're not allowed to describe the physical traits that would differentiate North Koreans from Russians. Like, so they look different? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. How do they look different? They had dark hair. Their features were sort of dark. Well, Russians can be that way. Right, right.
Yeah, they seem to be. Maybe they were marching towards the sun because a lot of them were squinting.
They looked Asian. Well, Russians technically are Asian. Yeah. Yeah. They looked Asian. It would help if you could describe. I can't, right? Yeah. I don't think I can describe what they really look like.
They were marching in a chain gang. That seemed like a little bit different than what you'd see with the Russians.
I just hope Ukraine isn't waiting to see the whites of their eyes before shooting because they're going to be a little closer. Let me just say that. They're going to have to wait till they're a little closer.
That's good. See, you're sharp this week, Mike. Although you wrote that
joke
a few weeks ago.
That's the proof in the pudding. Yeah. I wrote that before this week.
All right, let's
all right, where are we going?
To
are we going to this day
this
in history?
This day in history.
Yes, here we go. All right, I got to be up front with you. There wasn't a lot, man. It was not a sexy week or day. Let's see here. But I got some. I got some. Let's see if you knew this. Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec, the very famous French artist, he was born on this day in what year? I'm going to give you give or take 30 years.
Toulouse-Lautrec?
Yeah.
I'm going to say 1830.
I win. 1864.
Damn it! Missed I by love 4 years.
I know how to pick the range.
All right. All right.
All right. Let's see what the next one is. You'll know about Jack Ruby when that happened.
1964.
All right. Let's do this. What? That? It was, which one?
Jack Ruby?
63. Yeah. 63. So you would have gotten it. All right. We didn't do that one. Shortly before her death, Anna Sewell published her only novel, Black Beauty, the first major animal story in children's literature. Give or take 35 years. Huh?
Was it about Halle Berry?
It was not. That would have been more recent. Give or take 35 years, when was the legendary book Black Beauty first published?
1830.
1877.
Oh, God.
All right, another major work of writing. Charles Darwin, his On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection was published. Let's just say this was a game changer. This was a giant debunker of the way the world thought. I'm going to say give or take 25 years. When did Darwin publish On the Origin of Species?
I feel like it was towards the end of the 19th century. And since the last two answers were like in the 18th, I'm going to say 1875.
It was, you got it, 1859.
Nice.
You kind of got it. All right, let's look for one more here. Well, there's Diego Rivera, but Maradona, I didn't know he died when he was 60. I did find one more story here. Hold on. We got DiMaggio.
1954.
Okay. The premiere of Casablanca was on this date in what year? Give or take 5 years.
That was a, was it black and white?
It was black and white.
Then I'm going to say 1943.
Yo, 1942.
Nice.
Oh, we're going to go out on one that's personal to you. And you know what? Just to make myself feel good, I might put it on in the background today. One of his Charlie Brown Christmas. Charles Schulz, American cartoonist. He was born on this day in Minneapolis, Minnesota. What year, give or take 8 years? I'm going to give you a 17-year window.
That he was born?
He was born on this date in what year?
Well, I should know this because I actually went to the Charles Schulz Museum, which is in Santa Rosa, California, where he built a hockey rink. He built a skating rink next to his offices. There's a, the museum is his old offices, and it's got, and I fucking love Peanuts, and it's got all of the cells up on the wall. And then he liked to skate, so during his lunch break he would go over and skate in this fucking rink. It's amazing. And you can go skate there now.
Did I give you that needlepoint Peanuts? I think I did, right?
I think you did. Yes.
In your office. Yeah.
I'm going to guess, well, I know he wrote about football. He was a football fan. So he was definitely around, I'm going to say he was born in 1890.
You don't even have to think anymore. 1922.
Yeah. Jesus.
I mean, that might've been your worst one, and you're a fan and you've been in the museum.
Yeah. All right.
I recall, and I know we've said this on the podcast before, but our buddy Ross Abrash, amazing joke writer, he was on Kilborn with me, and just, I mean, a joke machine. And Charles Schulz died like at 4 p.m. that day or whatever it was. Here it was. It was in February 12th, 2000 is when he died. And without, like, I think he had already like printed out his jokes because we were close to the showtime, and Ross hand wrote in. He's like, Charles Schulz, American cartoonist responsible for the Peanuts, you know, has passed away. Cause of death, shitting out unfunny comics for 50 years.
No.
Yes.
Really? They didn't use it. Did they use it?
No. But it made Craig and I laugh.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I got that guy a job writing on Howard Stern.
I know, and they loved him there. He was there years, maybe even a decade.
A lot of years, yeah.
Here we go. We're going to letters to the editor.
Okay, right in the middle of your conversation with Mike, a louder and even faster audio feed in Spanish comes in where they are speaking really fast. It's a quick hit, not lasting long, but it's quite jarring, definitely in Spanish. Derek Mora. So I'm a little concerned. We took on this new agency. We already have an agent to give us like the ads that we read, but this new agency inserts ads. And I'd like to get some feedback from people. Because we hear different things about, one was running a political ad, and some of these, the second time I've heard they're in Spanish. So I don't know what they think our demographic is, but give us some feedback at fitzdogradio@gmail.com. Are these ads annoying, infuriating, or you don't mind them? What do you think?
All right. I've never heard them. I like this Spanish lady, though.
By the way, we haven't plugged our merch. We're going to do...
Yeah.
It's not definite. We're going to do either hats and shirts or just shirts. And we're going to decide this week. We're going to announce next week you're going to be able to
both.
Go onto the... What?
Maybe both.
Maybe both. You're going to see on the website, there'll be a link. You can buy them for the holidays. Buy it for a friend who watches and listens. Buy it for yourself. It's going to be high quality, whatever. We've been going back and forth about making sure the quality is really good. And that's going to be exciting for the holidays.
Yeah, exciting, man. They are good-looking hats. I will say that.
Yes.
And I will not be mailing them to you, so that's an added
bonus. No, that is our sale to you, is Mike is not involved. There will be a professional company that gets them out in 24 hours or less.
Don't tape loonies don't tape coins to pieces of paper and send them to me and claim you're not mentally ill.
Chris Fury said songs that mention Tacoma, which was the topic we had last week. Jewish Princess by Frank Zappa with a garlic aroma that could level Tacoma.
That's a nice rhyme.
That was the song he did with Moon Unit Zappa, his daughter.
Oh, all right.
Malcolm Gladwell covered Hope College, a private liberal arts college in Michigan. He has a program to allow students to attend without paying tuition. However, the students pledge to donate money in the future if they are able to.
That's a very nice Jepson setup.
Yeah. Dan said, dude, Mike with that Roddy Dangerfield callback right after Greg brought it up was just the best. I thought that was scripted or something. Get back to snorting Adderall, Mike.
I know, right?
Sharon said, regarding Lockhorn, shocked when opening electric and water bill at the same time. Mike's response, inflation, right? Or shocked because opened water and electric at same time and nothing to do with inflation, Mike? I think the joke was he got shocked because it was water and electricity, right?
I have no idea what this is referring to.
All right. Sorry, Sharon. By the way, Mike, we already talked about that.
No, shocked. The joke would be water and electricity, right? You got to keep them apart.
Yeah.
All right.
Obituary. Did you pick out an obituary for this week?
Nope.
Nobody died?
Who died?
Who died and left you, boss?
How about this? Mel Brooks, still alive.
That is pretty amazing, isn't it?
I love that.
I'm looking at... nobody big.
I know. No, nothing stood out to me.
Yep.
So.
Okay.
Good. So we don't even have to cheer up, but we're going to. Here comes
the
bunnies.
Let's go right to them. The comedy captions contest goes on. You guys have been unbelievable. So much funny shit. I'm laughing out loud at a lot of these. It's just such a fun idea, and you guys are participating. If you do it, please send the joke and put your name directly underneath your submission. It helps me cut and paste into the document without taking all fucking day. Okay, last week's was, it looks like an angel with a halo and wings. He's got his arm around a guy who looks like he's in a bathrobe. They're walking through the pearly gates into heaven. And Dan Roski said, it's okay, I haven't gotten my koozie either.
I love it.
Ryan says, ass, cash, or grass. Nobody dies for free.
Okay.
I like that. Jeff Langa said, you're going to love this place. Pete Rose is selling autographs tonight.
Ah, recently deceased, yes.
Jason Cobb said, well, Cardinal Michaels, this is heaven, but we're going to relocate you to another hot spot, just like you did with all those priests.
Okay, Jason. All right.
Zach from Yuma said, not going to lie to you, bro. This place sucks. Should have sinned.
All right. A little twist.
Mark said, sorry, Hugh, because of the abortions, all your whores are in hell. Guy looks like Hugh Hefner.
Okay. Oh, okay. The robe. I get it. It does look like Hugh Hefner.
Timmy Woodhouse says, before you ask, the wait list for 72 virgins is like 1,000 years long.
The guy in the robe doesn't look like he was a terrorist.
Yeah, I think they got the wrong religion on this one. Michael Judge says, clouds? No, that's the smoke from the Phil and Friends reunion.
All right. Yeah, Phil's up there.
Sean Johnson says, as you can see, no priests up here.
Okay.
Joanne said, welcome to heaven, fuckface.
This is not sounding like our Joanne again.
Joanne then said, so you died waiting for your koozie?
All right. Well, I get message received.
All right. So what do you like?
I don't know. Is there a way not to like any this week?
It wasn't the most killer week, but I kind of like ass, cash, or grass. Nobody dies for free.
All right. What does that mean, though?
It's a thing that bikers say. Guys
with
Harleys.
No, I know what it means, but why would the angel be saying that?
I don't know. It's just he's going to, the angel is... asking for some ass.
It would help if you saw his hand, his other right hand, out asking for something. I don't understand why the angel is saying, what is he expecting?
Yep. Okay.
Maybe this is another joke we don't get, which you're about to read. I think the first one, I haven't gotten my koozie, like saying it's okay. It's similar to the last joke, but I think it's better. I think Dan Rosk.
Dan Rosk, congratulations. You've won yourself a koozie just in time for the winter to keep your beer cold throughout the winter. By the way, koozie is also a great Christmas. This started as a Christmas promotion for last year. If you want to get a koozie, go to the Fitzdog Radio website. You can still do it. Next week's caption, it's a man sitting at a bar. He's got a drink. He's in a suit with the tie undone. He's clearly had a lot of drinks. His nose is red, and he's staring at a pink giraffe who
he's
is
also
talking
shaking his
to
head.
He's shaking his head as a pink giraffe is talking to him.
Yeah, he's trying to shake off the vision. Yeah.
Yeah, what's the pink giraffe saying? Then we got Clark Lemieux said, you can't even read a fucking Dilbert without the punchline flying over your heads.
Oh,
not only is Mike's delivery of these comic strips atrocious, but the self-proclaimed comedian doesn't get the jokes. You two dolts read a strip about an employee getting in trouble for their responses to an anonymous survey, and you couldn't figure out the punchline. A lot of people got upset about that.
All right. How does he know who delivered the anonymous complaint?
Well, that's a technicality.
Also, we're wondering, is that really the best they can do? The old anonymous joke on, well, it wouldn't be anonymous, which has been done a bazillion times over centuries. So, yeah, we're a little confused.
All right, well, we got a bunch of people pointing that out, so we can't put it all on him. We must have not conveyed that well.
As you read, I'm going back to find that fucking comic.
No, don't get all distracted. You're always looking on your phone.
I'm already gone.
Now listen to this hagger. There's a castle under construction. It's got ladders on it, and there's a couple. And the woman says, "If you build it," and then hagger pops into the frame, and she goes, "He will come. Yeah, you better believe he'll come. He's gonna come, all right."
I liked listening to it, believe it. You painted a good picture of it because I'm now in last week's document.
Mm.
You ready? First
yeah.
frame. According to the anonymous online employee survey, you, how does he know it's you? You don't trust management. What's up with that? This whole fucking thing doesn't make sense.
No,
it was anonymous.
He's saying it was anonymous. And he's saying, you don't like, clearly you made a comment on the anonymous survey.
No, that's not what they're saying. It's literally, it's like they sign or maybe it's online. Why do I have to think about this? You're not supposed to figure out jokes.
Yeah. All right.
Why does the guy with the smack your bitch up hairdo know who made the anonymous complaint?
But
doesn't make sense.
That's the
I'm
joke.
Fucking furious.
All right. Speaking of hilarious, the Lockhorns, Leroy is at the dinner with Loretta. They're sitting at home at the kitchen table. And he goes, I don't know what this is, but you made way too much of it.
I like that. Simple. So simple. And look, it's a joke. I don't have to do any goddamn math on it.
They're on vacation. They're wearing hats. They got touristy outfits on. They look like they're in a marketplace.
Yeah.
And he goes, if we get separated, I suggest we just relax and enjoy it.
They're good, man.
And then we got...
you want me to do the next Dilbert?
Yeah, let's do a Dilbert.
I'll read it any goddamn way
number
I want.
Number three. This is number three.
It's number three. It goes from 1 to 10 up, but they're the 10 best. So already, I have a lot of problems with communication and how people can't do it. But anyway, here's number three. Okay, three frames. In the first frame, the smack your bitch guy hairdo with the two pointy pieces of hair comes up to Carol. This is the first time Greg and I are ever seeing Carol. She's at her desk. And he goes, Carol, I want you to help me put together a morale-boosting event. And Carol goes, great idea. And after that, maybe I can do CPR on a mummy and see if I can save its life. And in the third and final frame, she goes, do you hear what I'm saying? And then he goes, our first meeting will be Tuesday.
Wow. Jesus.
All right. As usual, let's try to figure out this Dilbert. Morale boosting event. And then after that, she's going to do CPR on a mummy and see if she can save its life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Our first meeting will be Tuesday. You know what? Fine. I don't want any more letters. That is so hysterical.
It's great.
I get it. Yep. I think I get it. Because I'm
smart.
Dripping
sarcasm really lands, especially with the do you hear what I'm saying after the joke.
Yeah. These people, they seem very unhappy in the workplace.
Yep. Here's who's unhappy. Is Blondie. She comes walking into the frame. She has a raspberry sweater that is just clinging to her full bosom as Dopey sits in a chair with his hands in his pockets watching TV. Like, what? And she goes, I thought you were going to help clean up after dinner. And he goes, oh, I am. And he goes, I was waiting for my food to digest. She goes, how long will that take? He goes, probably until after dinner tomorrow. Oh, really? Fuck
oh,
face?
No.
You, so she is the one that stands at the goddamn stove with the apron on, stirring pots, serving you, asking you what you want, and then you're gonna give her lip and not do the dishes? What the fuck? What bus of children did she run off the road in a previous life that she is forced to deal with this?
I know. Bad karma.
God.
Still easier to follow than a Dilbert.
Yep. Oh, you
can't
get
wait
it.
For number four.
You get it. I just don't know if Blondie's supposed to make you angry or make you laugh.
The problem is Blondie doesn't get it.
Right. You know who does get it? Mint Mobile. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
if you want to pay $30 a month for your first 3 months, you're going to go ahead and you're going to go to mintmobile.com/papers. Also, don't forget about Game Time. It's the best way to get tickets for comedy, sports, theater, music, all of it. Go to the Game Time app, create an account, use code PAPERS for $20 off your first purchase. And don't forget, if you haven't seen Life on Stage, my special, I'm getting close to 500,000 views. If you haven't seen it, please watch, tell a friend, and you know what? Put it on your computer on YouTube and just hit play and then go walk the dog. Let's get these numbers up. It's getting there. Okay. Mike, anything you want to promote?
Well, I'm trying to find our text chain of our schedule of podcasts.
Oh, right.
I think we're not doing it next week.
I think next week we are not doing it for Thanksgiving. And then we're doing it, I forget. We're going to miss two in the next 5 weeks, just to warn you guys. And I'm going to Africa for 3 weeks.
Oh.
And we got the holidays, and it's going to be, we're going to take a couple weeks off, just to warn you guys. Maybe we'll play an old one if you want to enjoy, maybe one from the year before, the end of the year. Maybe we'll do the one that, like, does all of our predictions, because then we'll be answering those the following week.
Yeah.
Okay.
I am looking, though. We nailed down a schedule, but all right. Yeah, we'll update that.
We'll update you. And thanks to Midcoast Media for doing a fine job. There was an omission last week. Sorry, the comic strip was not in for this week's comic captions, but it will be in this week. And thank you guys again, Mike. Good luck with your show.
Oh, thank you. You know, we might have a show. I mean, do we want to? We don't. No,
I can't
listening
remember
at this point.
Yeah,
right?
I can't remember. All right. Anyway, we'll see you guys soon.
Oh, guys, take it. Everyone have a great Thanksgiving. Regardless, take it easy.
Take it easy.
Sunday papers. Oh.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO. How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.